If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
8:39 on a Tuesday morning. Brought you a story from Twin Falls yesterday, which we kept putting on the caveat, we don't know, nothing's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things on the Drudge report that turned out to be completely inaccurate. No knife, no high five, et cetera.
No Syrians, apparently.
No Syrians. Story at MagicValley.com, the Twin Falls Times News website this morning. They had a big meeting in Twin Falls last night. Saw some video from it. The city council should have better handled reports of a young girl who was sexually assaulted by boys at a Twin Falls apartment complex earlier this month, said many residents who addressed the board at its meeting last night. There were also people there who ranted and raved against the refugees in the area.
Mm-hmm.
A crowd packed the chambers to hear a briefing from Twin Falls Police Chief Craig Kingsbury about false reports circulating about the incident, which, contrary to claims on anti-Muslim websites, did not involve Syrian refugees. Residents said the council should have released, and I agree with this, council should have released more information more quickly or expressed sympathy for the girl's family, while others criticized Islam, refugee resettlement, the media, and prosecuting attorney Grant Loke.
I get the feeling that the city just assumed if we don't release any information at all, then there will be no wrong information out there. And that was exactly wrong, because everybody took the story and added something to it to elaborate a little bit, and none of it turned out to be true.
And it was, some of it was true.
Well, yeah, some of it was true. There was an incident.
Yeah, there was an incident. Odell said people don't need to know the names of the boys accused. The two boys in custody are 10 and 14, and the case has been sealed, but the city should be transparent. We need to understand what the implications are of this. Now, as early or as late as this morning,
mm-hmm.
I heard the 7-year-old was the responsible one. If he was, why are the 10 and 14-year-olds in custody and not the 7-year-old?
I don't know. Maybe they...
Maybe there's an age limit.
Aided and abetted. I have no idea.
All right. We need to understand...
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, and as we told you yesterday, the case has officially been sealed by a judge because these are all minors, and so there is no chance of it ever being unsealed.
Ever?
So I kind of doubt we're ever going to know the real details of what went on. But we know it wasn't Syrian refugees, but...
And we're not even sure it was refugees.
Well, yeah, but supposedly I think somebody wrote that two of them were Sudanese and one was Iraqi.
Right.
But we don't even have a confirmation on that.
Right. Vice Mayor Suzanne Hawkins, who presided over the meeting, and there was a lot of vitriol in this meeting. It was... It was well attended and on both sides.
What you have is a whole bunch of people who didn't want any refugees to come to Twin Falls.
Correct.
And then all of a sudden, they read about or hear about something like this, and immediately they think, see what happens? It's going to happen every day from now on.
Yeah. The vice mayor said the city council should have done a better job of communicating with people, but the situation was new for them too, and they were learning as well. Two boys from Middle Eastern families are in custody in relation to a sexual assault. Now, that is contrary to, I wouldn't think the Sudan, would that be in the Middle East?
Well, it's in North Africa, so it's very, very close. It's just kind of south of Egypt.
Two boys from Middle Eastern families are in custody in relation to a sexual assault on a 5-year-old girl that authorities say happened at the Fawnbrook Apartments. Got that right. On June 2nd,
mm-hmm.
several people came to the city council a week ago calling on city officials to release more information.
Or to say something.
Something. Police in Loeb's office were saying little last week, but the story blew up over the weekend after the boys were taken into custody. Many anti-refugee resettlement and anti-Islamic blogs picked up on it, and some incorrectly reported the boys were Syrian refugees or contained other details on the attack that have been denied by authorities.
And as I pointed out yesterday, I looked up this this story, and I found about eight different places. And it seemed like everybody had added one more detail that someone else hadn't said. So it turns out a lot of those were embellished a bit.
Yeah. The Nation of Islam, listen to this, has declared global jihad on us, Vicki Davis of Twin Falls told the city council. And Obama, this administration, is bringing them in as fast as he can. They're on your head, and she's pointing to the members of the city council. Yours, yours, and yours. Terrence Edwards passed out pocket copies of the U.S. Constitution to the city council, saying some of them might need to read it and be reminded of the oath they have all sworn to uphold it. The Muslim influence is not just a religion, it's a theocracy, he said. Edwards said the council wouldn't be there tonight if they'd been proactive on the issue 2 or 3 years ago and criticized President Obama for dividing Americans further. Need to take a break. We'll be back with more. Probably nothing definitive, though.
Yeah.
Speaking on business, listen each Tuesday and Thursday between 7 and 6. That's got to be 7 and 8 a.m. and from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on KBOI.
A high-speed chase in Garden City leaves one man dead this morning and some big traffic delays. Details coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Talking about the misinformation on the story of the rape of a 5-year-old girl in Twin Falls. The early story said by Syrian refugees, false, whose dad walked in on it and high-fived them, false, that they used a knife, false. There was an incident, and it was by people from the Middle East, there's a couple of Sudanese and an Iraqi.
Miners.
That is the information we have now, as we know in this story.
But again,
things change.
We can't find out all the details because it's been sealed by a judge because everyone's a minor.
Right. Julie Rupp, they had a big meeting,
right?
City council meeting in Twin Falls last night, and people came out on both sides of the issue, most of them against bringing in refugees to the Twin Falls area. Julie Rupp criticized Councilman Chris Talkington. Wasn't he in the media?
He was a news guy at KMVT back in the 70s, and he was also mayor at one time.
Who at last week's meeting asked Rupp if she agreed with some white supremacist comments made at a February meeting, and also said he was glad the critics of refugee resettlement weren't around when his ancestors came from Ireland. Rupp said she is of Irish descent as well, and that people shouldn't have to worry about being attacked for speaking at a public meeting. That was entirely dishonorable of your seat. The story in the Twin Falls Times News on MagicValley.com. Rupp reiterated her opposition to refugee resettlement. She said she talks to refugees. Most of them were not fleeing any sort of crisis. You believe that?
Well, no, actually.
And said that while there were inaccuracies in some of the stories told about sexual assault, I'll tell you, most liberals have their facts wrong, too. Then she went on to criticize the media in general and the Times News in particular. This tactic, if you will, you guys are wrong and we're proving you're wrong. Well, you're wrong, too. I mean, the tactic has been used since
cavemen. Yeah, they might as well all be running for president.
Yeah. I've been called so many names, it's ridiculous, thanks to the Times News, she said. Jesse Stroop agreed, saying people who come to speak shouldn't be met with sarcasm and rude insinuations. I don't know why you feel it's appropriate to treat them like their concerns are of little or no significance. Talkington stood by his comments, saying one of the anti-refugee speakers at a council meeting in February called for preservation of the white race. Said that's why he brought it up. Susie Capillaris. Yeah,
that sounds just a bit inflammatory.
A bit, yeah. Was one of the few people to praise the council, saying she supported the way the situation has been handled. She thanked them for the attempt to refute misinformation that is purely to stir up bigotry and hatred. Eric O'Dell said he had many Muslims working under him when he was a shift leader at Chobani, and while most of them were great people, a few were evil or frightening. O'Dell called for some sort of local refugee vetting system.
Kind of sounds like any job, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it does. The federal, I find you evil and frightening.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. And Todd, too.
Yeah.
The federal government has the sole responsibility for vetting refugees now to better pick the ones who deserve a second chance. So that's the story on MagicValley.com. Twin Falls Times News, well, some audio there as well.
You know, and yesterday I kept seeing headline after headline, mostly from blogs, that would add something to the story. And they were saying, you know, Twin Falls Town attempts to cover this all up. Nobody really covered it all up. It's just that when you're dealing with minors, they don't give you very much information, like names.
Yeah.
The prosecutor's office said...
What would you have done differently? I mean, once the bad information gets out there, it spreads like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as this story did over the weekend.
I think, believe it or not, they actually handled it well because, this happened less than 3 weeks ago. And since it was minors, they decided not to publicize it. This is the prosecutor and the judge. This is probably about the earliest that the news could come up with anything that... had the right information in it.
Yeah. Got a lot of emails, tweets, all kinds of things, instant messages.
But, man, people go crazy when any refugee steps out of line.
Yeah.
Because they warned them that would happen.
8:56. Paul, Jane, Chris, KBOI News Time 9:06 on a Tuesday morning. Scotty's been waiting through the news break. Let's go to Scotty of Middleton. Scotty, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, these refugees that have been brought into Twin Falls, they've been brought in by a private organization who are making money out of it. And you don't need to be a refugee to be told that you shouldn't be in this country, because it's happened to me because of my accent.
You have an accent?
I've been in this country since the 1970s, and I've been told many a time, oh, what are you doing in this country? You shouldn't be here because
really?
You're not an American.
Wow.
I'm proud to be in this country because I think this country is the greatest country in the world. And also, you've got two types of refugees. You've got refugees that are coming here for legitimate reasons, and you've got other reasons, other refugees that are coming in with a handout. They're waiting for the freebies. They get 7 years, I believe it is, of freebies. This is what's happening. But otherwise, believe you me, sir, this is the greatest country in the world.
I agree with you. One question for you. Do you know what organization is bringing the refugees in for money? Do you know the name of that organization?
Yes, I believe it's something to do with some college or something, or SMG. It didn't bother me. I couldn't care less who comes into the country because I'm the same boat as them. I came in this country to work, and I succeeded. That's what I keep telling people. This is the greatest country in the world, but you have got to waken up to what's happening round about you. Believe you me, sir.
Good stuff,
Scotty. You should be proud to be an American. Believe you me.
I love it. Thank you. I love America.
You be, have a good day and be safe.
Thanks. Glad you're here.
Instant message here says, I think this is tongue-in-cheek. I think the Twin Falls area can easily accommodate 60 to 70,000 refugees from Muslim countries. To do otherwise is unconscionable. That was probably tongue-in-cheek, right?
I
think so, too.
Twin Falls, what, 30,000 people?
Well, about 40,000 now.
Now it is, yeah. It was in the low 20s when I lived there. Let's go to Hank in Boise. Hank, good morning.
Good morning. Well, it reminds me, like with the Democrats and Obama, what Weaver once said, Prime Minister Lloyd George, he didn't care what direction he was going as long as he's in the driver's seat. And the Democrat Party doesn't care what happens to this country as long as they stay in power. These refugees.
Do you really believe that, Hank?
Yes, I believe that.
Wow. I sure don't.
The Democrat, I know it sounds nasty, but it's true.
Yeah, I don't believe that any
this country wouldn't be doing the things he's doing.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the thing about it is that these people are dependent on the government. They're surefire votes. The large Muslim communities in Dearborn, Michigan, are solidly Democratic voting. And it's all about basically keeping the Democrat party in power. And damn the consequences to the rest of us. And the division in this country, even though there are in Twin Falls, we had about a year or so back the terrorist plot involving the Washington that was forwarded by federal officials. But they may not stop all terrorists. We get one of them here in Idaho.
Yeah. You're breaking up really bad.
Your phone's breaking up quite a bit, Hank.
No, it's bad. Thanks for the call.
I think he was saying there was a terrorist plot in Twin Falls that was broken up, but I couldn't completely understand all of it.
Yeah, I couldn't either. Do you believe that either major political party doesn't care what happens to this country?
I don't think it goes so far as to say I don't care what happens to this country, because, of course, they live here, too. But what I do know and what history has shown us is that people will do practically anything to remain in power once they've tasted it.
However, I agree with that.
However, I mean, there's an awful lot of scrutiny in this country, so I think they don't get away with as much as people do in other countries. But I'm guessing, the ones who are in power probably do get away with a lot that we don't know about.
Yeah, and I'm not backing any Democratic agenda, any liberal agenda, anything like that. I'm just saying I find it hard to believe that a major political party, be it Republican or Democrat, wants to do harm to this country or doesn't care what happens in this country. I can't believe that.
I think the average person in America, though, would say that no matter who's in power, that they always overstep their boundaries and always do more, as far as they're concerned, the average American is concerned, do more to spread joy throughout the world than they do to actually help the country.
I might agree with that. And
by joy, I mean money.
Yeah, and I agree that government is way too big and there's way too many people getting help from the government. I agree with all that.
So that's definitely.
But I don't believe they're intentionally trying to do harm.
Definitely not a liberal agenda, then, is it?
No,
exactly.
No, people call me ultra liberal. I had a guy last week who told me to move to France.
Well, they've got better food than England, but
That's everybody has better food than England. If you've ever been there, you know I'm telling the truth. You ever see, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, the British really aren't known for their cuisine.
When's the last time you went to an English restaurant? There aren't any.
Does Irish count? No, I guess it doesn't.
Boiled cabbage, that'd be good.
They're completely different countries. But there are English pubs around where you can get some food. But yeah, I mean, there are quite a few English dishes that you kind of wonder what were they thinking.
Name an English dish. Oh, don't say bangers and mash.
How about spotted dick?
Go ahead and say bangers and mash.
Yeah, I said bangers and mash. Those are perfectly reasonable names of Well, they're not reasonable names.
It's hot dogs and soupy potatoes.
Well, yes.
Stop it. This stuff is terrible. Awful. I'm done.
Okay.
We eat at French restaurants
warm
and
beer.
Stuff and Italian restaurants and go to...
Warm beer is an English thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of... My daughter was so hungry, and she was waiting for some real English fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
Soggy, vinegary.
You know where they're good is?
Horrid.
San Francisco.
Yeah. Skippers.
Or Skippers. I like Skippers.
Yeah, Skippers are pretty good. Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:15. We're back. Chinese restaurants, Japanese restaurants, Italian restaurants, Mexican restaurants, French restaurants, German restaurants.
Brazilian.
Brazil, yeah.
That went out, you know, by the freeway. That's
right.
Good.
No English restaurants. Oh. Reason for that. So today's rewards code even is bangers.
Danish pastries, those are good.
Mm-hmm. BANGERS. Bangers.
As in bangers and mash.
As in bangers and mash.
Which, as you pointed out, is pretty much just sausage and potatoes, right?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Let's go to Randy and Jerome. Yeah. Randy, good morning.
Yeah, that's funny that there's no British food.
It's awful.
I mean, at least advertised that way. Remember the old Arthur Treacher fish and chips?
Oh, yeah.
Arthur Treacher.
Yeah.
We had
one of those in Twin Falls for a while.
You did.
Yeah, and H. Salt Esquire, you know, with the malt and vinegar that you instead of using lemon juice.
But mm-hmm.
One of my favorites is the British pot, the pasty, you know, the meat pie.
Yep,
It's like a, what do you call it, like a turnover?
Yeah, it's kind of like a... what do you call those Italian things? They're kind of like a pizza flipped over.
Oh, calzone.
Yeah, it's kind of like a calzone, kind of.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't taste nearly as good.
But like blood, stuff like blood pudding and kidney pie, not interesting.
Yeah,
exactly.
Doesn't ring off the tongue.
Yeah.
Interesting that the sun never set on the British Empire,
mm-hmm.
and all these ethnic foods and they still like their biscuits and their.
It's what
their
you're tea. Used to, I guess.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of Indian food.
Oh yeah, forgot.
See, that should have been the trade-off when the British invaded someplace and then took over the government.
We're taking over your food.
They should have sent the recipes and stuff back to England as the trade.
Yeah, there's a lot of it's Scandinavian countries. There's a lot of Middle Eastern cooking because of
the number of Middle Eastern people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, from the Mediterranean, North Africa, Middle East. And
they have all kinds of pancakes and stuff, too, up there, don't they?
Yeah, the Vikings, they had all kinds of Middle Eastern spices. I mean, the Scandinavians, because the Vikings, you know, they even beat the Portuguese and the British and everybody around.
If somebody offers you lutefisk, by the way, don't eat it. They try to tell you it's food. I do not believe it's food.
It's like got bleach in it or something. That is terrible.
Yeah, they must not understand that most of your taste comes from your olfactory senses.
No.
If you have to hold your nose to eat something, you shouldn't have to eat it.
That's a really good point.
Exactly right. Thanks, Randy. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Fed up in CUNA says, hi, guys. I agree with you on a lot of issues. However, on people who want power and wealth, take your rose-colored glasses off. They will do anything to keep both. Just look around, even in the good old USA. Now, I'm not going to go so far as to say they'll do anything, but...
they'll do a lot.
Let's put it this way. People who are in power generally have a much higher limit of what they will do than the rest of us.
And no longer, would you agree? The longer they're in power, the more they'll do.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely?
Yeah, kind of agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, Craig of Boise says, if you don't think that the Democrat Party is about their power and their agenda, contrary to the best interests of this country, all one has to do is look back at the Senate's refusal to hold a trial for the impeachment of President Bill Clinton, even though the evidence clearly showed he was guilty and certainly not worthy of the office of president. We did have an impeachment trial
for
him,
didn't we? Yeah, there was. He was impeached.
Yeah, impeached.
They didn't remove him from office, but he was impeached.
A lot of people think to be impeached means to be kicked out of office. Nope. It doesn't. It just means to be brought up on charges.
Exactly, and he was.
And he was brought up for lying to a jury.
Mm-hmm. All right, a series of, coming out of the Orlando thing, a series of dueling gun control measures in the Senate, both defeated Monday in the first proposed legislation in the wake of the Orlando terror attack. The four amendments, all four, failed on procedural votes. First vote was on the amendment by Senator Chuck Grassley of Ohio to enhance funding for existing gun background check systems, which needed 60 votes to pass, got 53. The second vote on a measure by Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Democrat, to expand gun background checks and close the gun show loophole, final tally 44 to 56, resoundingly defeated. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas pushed a measure that would allow the government to delay a gun sale for a suspected terrorist for 72 hours. The National Rifle Association backed the legislation, but it failed also 53 to 47. In the fourth and final vote, a measure by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California to keep people on a government terrorism watch list or other suspected terrorists from buying guns, that failed 47 to 53.
Part of the reason, okay, we need to go to a break. I'll come back and I'll give you my opinion of why that failed.
It's 9:26. KBOI News Time, 9:36 on a Tuesday morning. Interesting day. Talked about the refugee situation in Twin Falls, not what it was intended to be, or not
good, but still not as bad as the story was yesterday.
Basically, no Syrians involved, no knife involved, no gang rape. This was all according to the chief of police in Twin Falls. His comments refute several differing accounts about the incident circulating on anti-refugee resettlement and conspiracy websites and anti-Muslim blogs. Most of those accounts claim a group of Syrian refugees sexually assaulted a mentally disabled girl at knife point June 2nd in the laundry facilities of Fawnbrook Apartments, a low-income housing complex in Twin Falls, and that the attack was celebrated by perpetrators' families as city officials orchestrated a cover-up. Investigators and prosecutors were quick to dismiss nearly all of those claims on Monday. And so that's where we are with that.
Craig of Boise says, you mentioned that President Clinton had actually been impeached. That is not actually correct. Although impeached by the House... Well, I think that counts, doesn't it?
That counts. He's impeached.
Bill Clinton was actually acquitted. The Senate did not reach the two-thirds majority needed to fully process his impeachment.
No, he was impeached. That's why he was tried.
Yeah, Clinton was impeached by the House on two charges, the first being perjury and the second being obstruction of justice.
That he was impeached.
But yeah, impeachment doesn't mean you were kicked out of office. You can be impeached and then kicked out of office. No one ever has been. They were speculating that Nixon would be, but then he resigned and then was pardoned by Ford. Andrew Johnson was impeached, but also not kicked out of office, and Clinton as well.
Yeah. So impeachment is the process.
Right.
Yeah. So he was impeached.
But when they were talking about, impeaching Nixon, I think, people just assumed that meant, let's get rid of him. Let's impeach him. And so they thought, throwing something away meant to impeach it.
No. You got enough to worry about?
Oh, me? You going to give me something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we have people call the show that are worried about a lot of things.
Well, yeah.
A lot of things that...
Some real,
wouldn't
some,
occur to me to worry about.
Some real, some paranoid, some, most in between.
Okay, but now, I'm not sure I'll worry about this either. The American Medical Association has adopted, Chris, an official policy statement about streetlights.
Streetlights?
They're in your neighborhood. They come out at night.
Streetlights.
They will kill you.
Okay, what is it about streetlights that they're warning us about?
Cool it and dim it. The statement adopted unanimously at the AMA's annual meeting in Chicago June 14th comes in response to the rise of new LED street lighting sweeping the country.
Okay, LED street lights then.
An AMA committee issued guidelines on how communities can choose LED streetlights to, we're quoting now, minimize potential harmful human health and environmental effects.
Potential?
Municipalities are replacing existing streetlights with efficient and long-lasting LEDs to save money on energy and maintenance. Although the streetlights are delivering these benefits, the AMA stance reflects how important proper design of new technologies is and the close connection between light and human health. They're in your neighborhood.
So I didn't completely understand all that. Are they bad for you or good for you?
Bad for you.
Oh, okay.
They'll kill you. Well, maybe not kill you.
Well, I mean, you know, people started using LED lamps because they were more efficient electrically.
And in home, LEDs are so dim you can't see anything.
Incandescent.
The AMA statement recommends that outdoor lighting at night, particularly street lighting, should have a color temperature of no greater than 3,000 Kelvin.
I see.
Color temperature is a measure of the spectral content of light from a source, how much blue, green, yellow, and red there is in it. A higher CT rating generally means greater blue content, and the whiter the light appears. Now,
can you see all this stuff?
LED lights are white.
Can you see all this stuff over my head right now?
Yeah, what is that?
It's all stuff you said.
A white LED at CT 4000K or even 5000K, yeah. Chris, contains a high level of short wavelength blue light.
It does.
This has been the choice for a number of cities that have recently retrofitted their street lighting, such as Seattle and New York.
Now, Kmart used to have that.
Have what?
Blue light specials.
Turn that fish place you used to eat at. In the wake of these installations have been complaints about the harshness of these lights.
Mm-hmm.
An extreme example, the city of Davis, California. Chris Peterson came from.
All right.
Where the residents demanded a complete replacement of the high-color temperature LED streetlights. Two problems with LED street lighting. An incandescent bulb has a color temperature of 2400K, which means it contains far less blue and far more yellow and red wavelengths.
So we're anti-K here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before electric light, we burned wood. And candles.
Yes, we did.
This artificial light has a CT of 1800. Quite yellow, red, and almost no blue. What we have now is different. The new white LED street lighting, which is rapidly being retrofitted around the country, has two problems, according to the AMA. The first is discomfort and glare, because LED light is so concentrated and has high blue content. It can cause severe glare, resulting in pupillary constriction.
Okay.
Huh?
Again?
Pupillary constriction.
You know, that does not sound like
I should say it like this. Pupillary constriction.
Oh, like eyes. Like,
sorry, I mispronounced that.
Okay, yeah. I was just saying because it sounded really... well, it did. It sounded like that fish place, you know.
Blue light.
But they want us to have a house with no blue lights.
Well, no, street lights. We're talking street lights.
That's true. Okay.
Blue light scatters more in the human eye than the longer wavelengths of yellow and red. Sufficient levels can damage the retina. This can cause problems in seeing clearly for safe driving or even walking. Walking at night, Chris.
Yeah, I have problems with that anyway.
You can sense this easily if you look directly into one of the control lights on your new washing machine. It's very difficult to do because it hurts. Street lighting can have the same effect, especially if its blue content is high and it's not shielded correctly.
Okay.
The other issue addressed by the AMA statement, the impact on human, you ready for this?
I am.
Circadian
rhythms.
Rhythmicity.
Ah.
I said that right. Circadian rhythmicity. Color temperature reliably predicts spectral content of light. That's how much each wavelength is present. I got to stop reading. These LED lights have blinded me. It's designed specifically for light that comes off the tungsten filament of an incandescent bulb. New Atlas shows extent of light pollution. What does it mean for our health? The CT rating does not reliably measure color from fluorescent and LED lights. And so your circadian rhythmicity.
Okay, bottom line.
Bottom line. The AMA recommends for CCT below 3,000 K. Not quite enough to be sure that the blue light is minimized. The actual spectral irradiance of the LED.
Okay, so.
Well, why did I start this story? The relative amounts of each of the colors should be considered as well.
If it messes up your circadian rhythms, then you.
That's why I can't sleep at night.
You won't. Okay, yeah, you won't be able to sleep at
night. That's why I couldn't sleep last night.
Because your circadian rhythms.
I thought it was because it was hot.
Circadian rhythms are 24-hour cycles.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. And well, and so you'll like eat at the wrong time and everything.
So this is good. And bright electric lighting can also adversely affect wildlife. It disturbs migratory patterns of birds and some aquatic animals which nest on shore. We have a lot of those around here. And they have a whole bunch of... This story never ends.
Well, it's a warning from
you know who wrote it?
American Medical Association.
You know who wrote it?
No, I don't.
Bugs Stevens.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Not Bugs Bunny. Bugs Stevens.
There's a writer named Bugs.
He's a professor at the School of Medicine at the University of Connecticut.
Professor Bugs.
Excuse me, Professor Bugs.
Probably Dr. Bugs.
What's up, Doc? 947. KBOI News Time, 9:51. Let's go to the phones. Keith and Meridian. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Just a reminder, you know, when they first put in LED lights on the stoplights, that they didn't emit enough heat to keep them clear in the winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they had to do something there because they would frost over on the sensors and stuff, and there was not enough heat emitting from the LED lights to clear the lights.
Hmm.
So that caused a few problems.
Yeah, so did they go back to incandescent bulbs?
I don't know what they did, but they sure got it fixed anyway.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Thanks, Keith.
You bet.
You know, I have pretty big LED lights in my yard light and then in my garage light and my front porch lights, you know, and then I have a big porch light thing.
But see, that's why you
all
have
all LED.
That's why you have irregular sleeping patterns. And like, for instance, this morning you got up, what, at 4:30?
Yes. I couldn't sleep last night, but it was hot. It's hot now. So I got up, opened the window, and I was okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's my street light.
KMD of CUNA wants to know, if English food is so bad, why are there so many fat people there? My guess is
because they eat French food.
Because, well, either that or just because they're used to it. I mean, you can get used to, well, I'm not
going to say, if you grow up with
it. Anything, but you can get used to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, if you grow up with it. Are there a lot of, there are a lot of fat people. A lot of skinny people over there.
I'd noticed more of them here, personally, than in England.
Let me just say something. If you fly internationally, which I've done a few times, you can follow the fat people to the planes to the U.S. You can absolutely do that.
So we're a land of plenty.
Well, we're a land of, and some people resent it.
Our land of excess, maybe?
Maybe excess. But you can always tell when you're in the...
I like plenty better.
Yeah, when you're at the right gate, you know?
Plenty.
Hey, give me some fries and let's wait for the plane. that's amazing, though. That's a pretty good observation. I don't remember there being that many fat people in England.
In England?
In Austria.
Let's
in Austria, everybody was a whippet.
Let's name them. Okay, Henry VIII. Winston Churchill.
He was fat. Smoked cigars. That probably did it.
Sebastian Cabot.
Yeah. That's true. But.
Oh, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. When you.
Maybe there are a lot of fat people in there.
Yeah, to Germany and Austria and places, like Vienna, everybody rides bikes and they're so fit.
Hmm.
I felt like a big toad.
What's gas? They're $8 a gallon there?
$8 a liter.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's either worse or
better.
Yeah,
all your people that want to move to Germany. It's amazing stuff. So, anyway. No English restaurants, and I'm not sure why they're so fat. We're almost out of time here. I'm looking through. I've seen some interesting things. Allison Gower sent an apology for sharing. She sent me a petition
about the Syrians.
Yeah, from one of the hosts, and she says it turns out that the story was based on a different, somewhat similar incident. Which has been addressed with justice.
Oh, and see, that happens with blogs once in a while.
They combine
two stories.
Yeah. So, anyway, she apologized, sent for the wrong thing. And thanks to everybody else who wrote. Open Phones Friday coming up in a couple of days. If you still want to vent on this. Something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org or stop by 2000 North El Dorado Sunday morning.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
The nanny state is alive and well in London. The newly elected left-leaning Labour Party mayor, Sadiq Khan, has said he has had enough of those bikini-clad women on advertisements in the city, so off they go. Well, the advertisements, not the bikinis. He thinks it might make you feel bad about yourself. And you shouldn't really be looking at scantily clad women when you're on your way to work anyway. The London Transport will no longer run ads that could cause, quote, body confidence issues. London has all the problems every big city experiences, so I guess it makes sense to ban all skinny or healthy women in advertising pictures. I imagine plus-size women are out, too. Don't want those skinny women feeling bad about their appearance, either. I think this is always the danger of the nanny state solution. Mayor Bloomberg of New York tried it when he tried to ban large sodas. I suppose the size of your soda and your bikini are somehow related, but I'm thinking nannying should be left to the professionals. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.